Have you been wandering through life with no purpose? Are you looking for a catalyst to change your life for the better? These Servant Leadership podcasts will change your perspective of yourself, others, and your creator. This transformational leadership approach uses seven simple tools to help you understand your purpose in life. Please join Dave Kuhnert and Chris Seegers for today's podcast.
This is Servant Leadership podcast number 13. Systems thinking. In our last episode, we talked about emotions, and we said that to deal with emotions, you're either going to feel, act, and then think, or you're going to feel, think, and then act. And we said, of course, the better way is to feel, slow your emotions down and think about it, and then act. Your emotions are responders, and they're untrustworthy. So understanding that would tell me that they're there for a reason, but they're not to be leading me. I don't want to be emotion-led. I don't want to be emotionless, but emotions are there for a reason, and they tell me something needs to be addressed. So I want to slow those down, figure out what needs to be addressed, and handle it in an appropriate manner. So if I'll feel, think, act, I can do that. And we said that our emotions come from our overarching thinking, and that's really what we're going to dive into today is this overarching thinking. We're going to call it systems thinking. And systems that we're talking about, this all comes from a book written by Daniel Kahneman called Thinking Fast and Slow. Not his original idea, but he expounded on it quite a bit. And so this whole idea that we have different systems inside of our thinking. And we're really going to dive into the human mind here and figure out how our brain works and where our thinking comes from. So we have three systems of thinking. So let's start off with what System 1 is, and this is what we're going to call it, System 1 thinking. Well, System 1 thinking is this patterned thinking our brain does automatically. It's all about the physical. Should I approach or should I retreat? Should I duck or should I jump? This is that human mind acting instinctively because of past experiences. And we can develop a very accurate and sophisticated System 1 thought process over time. However, our System 1 is influenced by emotions and what we're going to call heuristics. And heuristics are simply mental shortcuts or biases that we have. So for most of us, driving is a System 1 function. If you've been driving for any amount of time, and you know when you first started, you had to really focus on it, but now it's such a habit that you probably don't even remember how many stop signs you went through on your way to work this morning. So it can be really difficult to think back and say, gosh, I don't even remember getting here. How did I get here so quickly? Did I stop at that last stop sign? Because it's just all muscle memory. It's just all happening automatically. And that's your System 1 at work. You just kind of go on autopilot, and System 1 takes over reflexively. A close friend told me that describing System 1 to his mother, he asked if she knew how many stop signs she went through from the house to work, and she couldn't tell him. She had to concentrate and count. It was three. It was only three stop signs, and she couldn't remember how many she goes to every single day because it just happens so automatically. And she drives through them twice a day.
So does this tie in at all, Dave, to kind of the fight or flight instinct?
That is all System 1. In fact, in the military, we train for thousands of hours on what we call battle drills. And what we're trying to do is have a battle drill or a muscle memory reaction to a certain situation. So it doesn't require thinking. Because if you got to go into a deeper thinking, what we're going to call System 2, it's going to slow everything down. So you want it to be reflexive. And that's the flight or flight also. It's got to be reflexive for it to be handled in the appropriate time. So System 1 isn't bad, but what the Army calls or the military calls battle drills is what we're really dealing with here. Everything we go through in life, we just have these automatic reactions to. So in the military, if you're out on patrol and you hear a shot, somebody shoots, it's immediately get down behind cover and return fire, and it's all instinctive. That's a battle drill they call react to contact. So that's going to happen immediately. And this process requires no thought at all. It's an instinctive reaction to something going on inside the environment that you're in. So here's another way to think about how System 1 works. If you look at a painting inside your home or in your place of employment, wherever, there's a painting on the wall, whether, you know, maybe it's a cowboy on a horse or a sunset or whatever it is. When we look at a painting or a picture of any kind, we kind of take it in and we immediately create a story for it. And we do this automatically. Our mind, we see the data. We turn that data into a story. So the cowboy must have rode across the open plain on his horse. And we have this big backstory that we just immediately create for why that guy is out there on the horse. We fill in all these gaps with assumptions and speculations. And they're all influenced by our emotions and these mental shortcuts or biases that we have. And this all happens automatically. So anytime we see a little bit of data, we immediately fill in the gaps. And it just happens in the blink of an eye. So if you're walking down the street and that flight or fight kicks in when you step off the curb and a car runs through the stop sign, you immediately jump back. There's no real thought process involved. It's self-preservation. It's system one. It's that automatic happening that we go through.
It was really fascinating. We were in Santa Fe going through some art galleries, which is not my big cup of tea, but the question kind of came up, okay, well, what does everybody think about this painting, right? And everybody had such a different story. It's fascinating that you brought that up. The system one thinking, you could say, wow, what a depressing piece, right? And then the next person would say, oh, I really see a lot of joy or a lot of hope in this painting. And you're like, well, how did you get there? It's fascinating.
Yeah, our mind just does this, and it's just the way our mind works. So the way understanding how our brain works, now we can recognize where our emotions are coming from. They're there for a reason. So this happens over time. It's this patterned thinking. Well, system two, just to give an overview of it, is the more focused human mind. It's going to block out all these outside distractions, and it's going to filter out the emotions and heuristics. It's going to recognize which ones are there and decide which ones to believe. Now, we can develop a better system one by continued and appropriate use of system two. So system two is going to be more of a calculus type thought process. It's going to be setting aside all of our feelings and all of our biases to come to a better decision. So this is going to recognize the processes of how system one works, recognize the potential emotions and heuristics involved that are affecting what's going on there, and then decide which assumptions you're going to believe and which patterns you're going to follow. So when we get into trouble, usually our system one's going to immediately react, but that's going to happen from being in system two for a while. So if you'll think back to how did my driving become system one? Well, it happened because when I first started driving, I was probably in system two. If you'll think back 100 years ago to when you started driving, you know, you probably remember having your hand at 10 and your hand at 2, glancing at the mirrors, focused on the center line so you don't drive off the road. Probably had to turn the radio off so you could focus even harder to keep yourself in your lane. It was really difficult, and nobody really wants to admit that, but it really was. It took a lot of focus, a lot of system two effort to keep yourself in your lane when you first started to drive. Then over time, now you see people driving down the road with one hand on the wheel. Maybe it's just a knee, putting on makeup, texting on the phone, and they don't remember where they're at on the road. I'm not advocating for that, by the way, but that's the system one at work. It's just such an instinctive thing now. It's really easy for you to do. But that happened from a lot of repetition. That repetition and repeated behavior has created what was a system two into a system one thinking process.
So are infants or babies just without systems totally? So they have to learn system one kind of from the ground up?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially with infants, they come into the world separated from God. They don't know much, but they know when people pay attention to them. And right away, that flashing me, that a baby makes life all about me kind of thing, right? So when you're looking at the baby and you're smiling at them and trying to get them to smile, hey, you're making life about me. That makes me happy. Well, over time, we learn to smile because somebody else smiles. It just becomes a reaction, a function of immediate pattern behavior because that's what you went through as a small child. Same thing if you think about being bit by a dog as a small child. You might fear dogs later in life because that experience happened to you. So we can develop a better system one by going through and shifting into system two where it's more appropriate. Now, system two takes time, and it takes a lot of mental energy to do it. And we don't do it very often, especially when it comes to statistics. We like to really think we know what's going on and just have that feeling, that gut feeling, which is our sixth sense or our system one working for us. Where I work in the oil field, We have guys that go out and check on oil wells every day, and they're so used to going out and looking at the oil well pumping and how everything's running that sometimes when they pull up on their oil lease, they just know something's wrong and they don't know what it is. That's the system one. Maybe it's a smell or a sound or something they're seeing that's just not jumping out at them, but they immediately know something's changed. Now I have to slow everything down and recognize what has changed and what's going on out there. So if we'll shift into system two more often, we'll have a better system one. Now your system one can develop over time. So maybe you get to know people from a young age and for over 40 years, you start to learn how people react. So when you look at somebody and you see their facial expressions, a furrowed brow or reddening of the face, and we're dealing with emotions here, we know they're angry. Or if they start to shake or you hear the quivering in the voice and the flush of the face, you know they're upset. You've learned to recognize that after having been through it several times. And it's true with meeting people. You start to get the idea of whether you like them or don't like them based on things that you've experienced in the past. And that's all your system one developing over time. But we can shortcut that time by shifting into system two, which is that focused thinking, that calculus, that hard, difficult thinking that takes a lot of energy to do it. So continued and appropriate use of system two creates a better system one, faster than having to go through all of the repetitions.
That's pretty fascinating. You've got some data on amount of hours required to become an expert, and you see people that are professionals, you know, whether it be in oil and gas or whatever industry, and they come to, let's say, deal evaluation. Hey, an older gentleman or woman who looks at a deal that's had a lot of experience can say, hey, this is a bad deal or this is a good deal, and you ask them, well why? And they say, I don't know, I just know, right? I've done 1,000 of these deals and this isn't going to be a good one. It's really fascinating how when you use your system two really, really well over a long period of time, your system one gets so refined that your reactions, you still got to be careful, but your reactions typically can be a lot better.
In fact, there's people out there who study the sport of tennis so much that they can tell you with 95% accuracy before the ball is hit whether it's going in or out. They just know because they've studied tennis so much. They've been in system two and watched so much tennis that they can tell you when that ball's in the air before the racket touches the ball with 95% accuracy, whether it's going in or out. That's pretty amazing. Well, that's all coming from experience, repetition, and being in system two. There's art dealers who can tell you whether a piece of art is a fake or not. They look at the piece of art and they just know. And you ask them why, they're not really sure. In fact, there's in one of the books I read by Malcolm Gladwell, he talks about this, and it's called Thin Slicing, if you're interested. He calls System 1 Thin Slicing and talks about the benefits of it, where the art dealer, you know, paraphrasing here, of course, the art dealer goes in and they find this piece of art that's been carbon dated to be an original. And the art dealer looks at it and says, it's a fake. And it was a fake. It was a statue made from older material, but the art dealer, she knew that it was a fake just by looking at it. She couldn't tell you why, but her system one was telling her why. It's that sixth sense happening there for her. And that comes from what you're talking about with that 10,000 hours, right? That 10,000 hours of focused effort to become an expert in something. And we've talked about that here already, where if you want to be an expert piano player, you would take 10,000 hours of focused piano playing to get there. And then that system one kind of kicks in and it allows you to make those on-the-spot decisions reflexively that are going to be in your best interest.
So is there a way that this could turn into kind of negative reactions or some sort of biases?
Yeah, so when you're thinking of your system one, we can make habits and reflexes that are hard to change. So we've created a bad habit or a bad reflex where immediately when somebody tries to share truth with us, for instance, we immediately take that as an attack in our emotions, the heat in our face, the anger, the emotions hit us. And we can even recognize, I can feel, think, act right now, but I'm just having a tough time doing it. So I've really got to shift into system two to change my thinking. So I'm going to have poor emotional reactions to things unless I change my thinking. My emotions are coming from my thinking. So if I don't shift into system two and recognize that not all of this is bad, or if I can change my thought processes, that will shape my system one so my immediate reactions aren't necessarily to get angry or to be afraid of the dog that bit me as a child. So every time I see a dog, now I'm afraid. Well, if I'll change my thinking about dogs, I won't have that immediate reaction. But it takes time and it takes energy. As we get older, we refine our system one because we have a lot of experience with people, a lot of unique situations. Our system one gets better and better and better. But if we want to shortcut that process, you don't have to be 70 years old just learning to not be afraid of dogs. You can shortcut that by shifting into system two, where it's appropriate, obviously, and create that system one that is no longer afraid of that dog. So through practice, we can change our system one, and through shifting into system two, we can create a better system one. And then we said all of these are influenced by heuristics and emotions. Now we know what our emotions are. That's going to be anger or happiness or whatever it is. We know what emotions we have, but heuristics are these shortcuts that we talk about, these mental shortcuts or biases. And Daniel Kahneman talks extensively about these in Thinking Fast and Slow. But these shortcuts, these mental shortcuts, are all around us all the time. For instance, one of them is called anchoring. Anchoring would be something like you're driving through town at 35 miles an hour, and then you get up on the interstate. And when you get up on the interstate, after driving 35 and you pick it up to 75, which is the speed limit here in Texas, it feels like you're going really too fast. And vice versa, coming off the interstate and getting going through town feels like you're driving really slow. That's anchoring. You feel like you're going faster than you really are or slower than you really are because you're anchored to that previous speed. Another one would be a law of small numbers. Our brains have a difficult time with statistics, so small samples are prone to more extreme outcomes than large samples, but we tend to lend the outcome of the smaller sample sizes more credence than statistics warrant we should. So system one is impressed with the outcome of small samples, but it shouldn't be. That's a situation where if we shift into system two and look at it for what it is, we can see that it's not what we thought it was. Another one is representativeness. This is when we look at somebody and make a judgment of them based on how they look. This is that physical pillar. When you look at someone who looks like me, well, then I tend to like them right away. And that's just representativeness at work. And if I'll recognize that I'm influenced by this heuristic, it can help me have better discernment with people. In fact, if you think back, if you've ever saw the movie Moneyball or read the book Moneyball by Michael Lewis, when Billy Bean was a baseball player, the scouts were looking at Billy Bean and they were using representativeness to scout him. He looked like a baseball player. All of these attributes that they had attributed to a successful baseball player is what he resembled. So they said he's going to be a good baseball player. And it turned out that he wasn't so great. He struggled really bad. He became a great general manager, and then he put these systems to work for him. So there's all these heuristics that we deal with. A big one, though, is priming. When you think of the news media, we're primed all the time with certain things. You know, it's you see things on the news, and we immediately start to think that things are more frequent than they really are. I'll just take you through a few statistics here, and these come from a TED Talk by Hans Rosling. And one of the questions he asked in this TED Talk was, the first question was, globally, how did deaths per year from natural disasters change in the last century in the world? So over the last century, how many deaths per year, how did it change? And he gave three answers. A, those deaths per year more than doubled, remained the same, or decreased by half. And of course, everybody says, well, more than doubled, because that's what you're seeing in the media. There's a lot of focus on that. Reality is that the deaths per year from natural disaster in the last century decreased by more than half. Even with all the hurricanes, it's getting more focused. We're being primed with it. The second one he asked is, in the last 20 years, the percentage of people in the world in extreme poverty has A, almost doubled, B, remained the same, or C, almost halved. And most people would say, hey, poverty in the world has got to have doubled. Reality is it's almost halved. When they gave the same test to monkeys did better than the people who took the test because they're not being primed. Monkeys, you know, 1 in 3 chance there. Well, human beings, they pick the wrong answer almost all the time. Less than 17% of Americans got that one right. What percentage of the world's one-year-olds are vaccinated against measles? 20%, 50%, or 80%? Well, now you're kind of catching on. It's 80%. But again, you wouldn't know that because when you think about how many Ethiopia commercials you see on TV with the poor inflicted children, well, you would think that everybody's dying of that disease. In 2001, before the trade centers were attacked, it was being dubbed the year of the shark because the news media, there have been a few shark attacks off the coast, and everybody was looking at that as, oh my gosh, shark attacks are happening more often. The reality is your chances of being killed by a shark are about 1 in 3.7 million, which is less than being killed by an elephant. In fact, in that year, elephants killed over twice as many people as sharks did. But elephants don't make for as good a news story. You have a better chance of getting killed by fireworks or struck by lightning than killed by a terrorist attack. But we'll go outside in the rain when it's lightning out. So only relying on System 1 can cause us to get it wrong. System 1 is really good, but it's influenced by these emotions and heuristics. So we really have to think about what are we being influenced by when we're going through it. Well, System 1 is all about the physical. System 2 is all about the mental. So System 1 is, do I approach or do I retreat? System 2 is that voice in our mind, that conscience telling us what's right or wrong. And it's what's legally right or wrong. But we also have System 3. Now, you won't find this in Thinking Fast and Slow. System 3 is our spiritual selves. So we got mind, System 2, body, System 1, and spirit, System 3. And System 3 is what Paul talks about with the renewed mind. System 3 is all about not what's best for me, what's best for others. So System 1 is good, very reflexive. It's all about the body. It's helped us to make those split-second decisions. System 2 is better, usually, but it's not as quick. It's the voice that's in our head. It's that conscience. It helps us determine what's legally right or wrong, setting aside those emotions and heuristics. But System 3 is the best. System 1 and 2 are self-serving. System 3 is other-serving. System 3 filters our thoughts through the Word to find truth. It helps us make decisions based on what is best to serve God and to serve others instead of serve ourselves. So when we filter our thoughts through what God says is right instead of what society and culture and Hollywood says is right, it's always going to be better.
So let's say you've got a big decision ahead of you, Dave. You go through System 1, you've got a reaction. Your next step should be go through System 2. I mean, are System 2 and 3 kind of the same, right? As you're kind of thinking through and slowing down and walking through a process versus reacting, you're kind of praying about it. Is it kind of dual, or is it something that you feel like are kind of two different processes?
I think at first it's a very deliberate process. I'm really only in System 3, but as time goes on, if we'll use System 3 appropriately, what'll happen is we'll get a better System 2 that starts incorporating System 3, and we'll get a better System 1. Now, wouldn't it be great, Chris, if somebody comes up and gets in your face very angry, and instead of you getting angry in return, you feel, think, and act, and you shift into System 3, and you start thinking about, how can I serve them right now? How can I help them instead of how offended I am? What would God say for me to do right here? But that's not our normal initial reaction. But Paul talks about it in Corinthians, and he talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 16. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not in the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the age for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And when we actually shift into system three, and we focus on others instead of focusing on ourselves, when we start to filter our thoughts and what our actions should be through what Christ would do, we become more Christ-like. And we're in system three, serving them instead of serving me.
And you and I have talked a lot about this. We have so much power to tap into in God, right? The infinite intelligence is what a lot of people call them, you know, kind of more secular people. But man, we use our own strength instead of tapping into this infinite power, right? This infinite wisdom, that this infinite decision-making capability. And the system three, that's where it's at.
This inexhaustible resource of the Holy Spirit. And when we just set our minds to the things of Christ, to the things of the Spirit, instead of the things of the flesh, the reaction of me to reply to anger with anger is all of things of the flesh. The reaction of me to reply to anger with how can I serve them and what will Christ do right now are things of the Spirit. And then I'm walking in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. I'm serving the we there, the transcendent there that I have, instead of the me there, the flesh there that I have also within me. So recognizing that I can slow my emotions down and I can change what my emotions are by changing my thinking is very important. I've got this overarching thinking. I've got system one, two, and three, and I can change my thinking. And when I change my thinking, I'll change how I respond to things. I'll change my system one. I'll change how my initial reaction is when bad things happen or when good things happen. I can change that with the right thought processes, by getting into Scripture, by listening to the Holy Spirit, by listening to what God would have me do instead of what the flesh would have me do, what Satan would have me do. So next time you are hit with an emotion and you have that opportunity to feel, think, and act instead of feel, act, think. So get hit with the emotion. I'm getting hit with that emotion for a reason. That bad emotion that I'm responding to something with is because I have poor thinking. I can change that. It's going to take me time. It's going to take me energy. It's going to take me a lot of dedication and commitment to do that. But when I'll be committed to changing my thinking, I can change the emotions because I won't respond the same way as I did before. I'll have transcended that emotion, and I'll be transformational, and I'll be serving others. And that's where we want to get to, where we can serve God, and love our neighbor as ourselves. So shift into system three where it's appropriate when you can. Change that system one, slow down your emotions, and treat others the way we'd like to be treated. Thanks for listening.
If you would like to offer feedback to any of the Servant Leadership podcasts, please go to our Facebook page and click on the comment section. You can also check us out online at trueservantleadership.com. Our site will soon have videos for the tools that we recommend using, and we will be adding additional content to the website in the future, including links for these podcasts. All of our material comes from the book Servant Leadership, Influencing Others to Get There by Leading a Transformational Life. If you're interested in the book, you can find it at Amazon.com. Both the paperback and the electronic version are available for order. The electronic version is only $1.99, and all of the proceeds from the book go to charity. Thanks for listening, influencing others to get there, serving others, and most of all, thanks for leading with the example of a transformational life set by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.